Welcome to Real Talk with CK, where we talk about real shit all day.
I am C. Crystal.
I am K. Crystal.
Where we talk about everything and nothing with our favorites. Join us for some real talk.
We need to say a podcast.
Oh, a podcast where we talk about. That makes sense. Okay.
Welcome back. We're super excited to have our first guest and good friend, Jeffrey Touton, interior designer extraordinaire and curator of fabulousness at Shop Project Phoenix.
Welcome to Real Talk.
Thank you for having me. I'm super pumped to be here. This is very fun for me.
So tell us about what you've been doing in quarantine and anything that has drastically like affected everything that you've been doing or anything that you discover about yourself.
Well, I've been trying to, you know, not cry all the time and try to figure out my life. Like a lot of people, you know, I got furloughed for my job at the beginning of quarantine. So I've been trying to find ways to stay busy and stay optimistic while also kind of making money. So I've been doing a little bit of freelance design work. And then, you know, I actually took a break from Shop Project over quarantine so I could just kind of chill out and focus on myself, which sounds really kind of narcissistic and whatever, but I was so overwhelmed with losing, you know, not having a job, and I haven't had a job and something to do almost every day for like the last however many years, that it was totally bizarre to me and freaking me out and so overwhelming that I found that I wasn't functioning very well. So I kind of took a little pause to kind of reflect and see what it is that I wanted to do moving forward. Like, it allowed me the time to kind of, you know, to think about what's truly important and what's important to do, you know, for work and to feel fulfilled, but also, you know, get those bills paid.
Sure. And I don't think that's narcissistic or selfish at all. Wow. I think, you know, as bad as 2020 is, I think that's one of the big lessons that we're getting. Like, we have time to just kind of chill out and kind of think about the things that are important to you, and I don't think that's selfish. I think that's fantastic on top of, like, the positive.
I mean, it's hard. I think, you know, as you know, I mean, like, people who are busy a lot, like, it's a weird time to, because you just have so much time. And right. I think at first you start to think, well, to be productive and to be successful, I have to be busy all the time,
right?
And I think for me, like, what this is, you know, it's kind of focused in on that, like, you really don't have to be so wound up and so busy all the time. But it's hard, I think, because, you know, I equated, you know, I was working, you know, 50, 60 hour weeks, and that's what I was used to. And then all of a sudden I was working none. And so also, like, my value, like, my thinking of myself, I was like, oh shit, I am not, like, you know, my self-worth dropped really low. And I realized that I was equating my self-worth with the amount of time I was working,
right?
Which is super jacked and ridiculous.
That's what we do. That's what we kind of figured out too through this whole time. You know, like, you grow up and you're taught sort of, okay, you get a job, you work your 8 to 5, you know, you put in your hours, you do the thing, like, regimented, like everybody does in the world. But it doesn't need to be like that at all. So that's like the therapy that we've come to throughout this whole process, is realizing like, you don't have to fit whatever norm, quote unquote, is out there.
It's nice, you know, it's so often, like, when you lose your job or when you're in a time, it's alone, and so you're kind of embarrassed by it. And now, since so many people are in the same boat and kind of going through the same thing, it's a little bit more freeing, because you're like, yeah, I lost my job, whatever. Like, there's no, you're not trying to hide it, and, you know, as people do, to be like, oh, you know, to kind of put on a good face. Now everyone's just kind of honestly like, I'm a mess. Like, I'm trying to figure it out. Like, right. Which I think is really nice. Like,
yeah,
you know, we were, like, yeah. I mean, when I was, you know, we were together last weekend with other people, and it was really nice for me, because some of the people that we were with were going through the exact same thing. And it was so nice to have an honest conversation with people about how they were getting by, like, what their fears were, how there really was nothing out there, you know, work-wise.
Right.
And and to just, you know, have that conversation, which I feel like in the past, like, you know, everyone would be kind of lying and being like, oh no, it's fine, everything's fine, you know, as literally, you know, their world was burning behind them.
Yes.
It's such a stigma too. I mean, when the recession hit 2008, 2009, I was asked to go on vacation and then I was laid off. They're like, if the projects come back, then you can come back. And to me, I was so embarrassed because I thought it was something that I did. Like, yeah, it was my failure. That's the reason why I was laid off. And now I'm like, no, they didn't have any projects, so I get it. But I think it's totally, it's like a whole different, it's the same situation, but it's a different mentality for it.
Yeah.
This and is the whole concept of being busy, it's, I hate when people are like, oh, I'm so busy, I'm so busy. I'm like, you're busy with what? Like, are you busy because you're enjoying what you're doing, or are you busy and annoyed that you're producing something that you don't want to do?
Yeah, I mean, well, anyone can be busy. I mean, even now that I don't, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I've got a whole lot of appointments all day. Yeah, my appointments are going to the gym, like, you know, getting random stuff done. They're not really appointments. Like, I'm not really that busy. Like,
right.
You know, they're like very, like, you know, uppity white lady appointments that I say, right. I'm sounding very busy. Oh, I'm getting my wig blown out. Like, yes, yeah. You're very busy, girl. You're very busy.
So busy. Oh, my eyelashes need a fill. La da da.
Yeah.
This is like a therapy session right now.
And it's good. I mean, and I think because we've been so isolated too, that it's just good to understand that we've all experienced the same feelings in a different scenario, but it yeah. essentially is all the same thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of ego that's been dropped, like, you know, during all of this. And it's, you know, partly because you realize that, you know, so much can change at the drop of a hat, and you can lose, like, you know, what you think is, you know, kind of your entire existence. And then, you know, also because you have to have compassion for other people in this situation. Yeah. Like, so you kind of have to, like, it's a full ego drop of letting go of all this kind of bullshit thinking. And
it's overwhelming. Yeah. It's overwhelming, but it's, I think it's been such a good, like, learning to understand yourself better and just kind of let go of all the pressure of society.
Yeah. I mean, and don't get me wrong. Like, I, like, you know, have cried and, like, you know, stressed out, you know, and I'm in a lot of therapy in order to, like, try to speak this positively about this whole situation. You know, I've been going to the therapist like twice a week sometimes, you know, so, like, you know, just so I can be able to kind of, like, have these conversations and try to, like, hack through it in a positive manner and not be like, what the fuck is happening? Am I ever going to be able to, you know, pay my own rent? What's going on? You know, and not just stay in bed all day. And don't get me wrong, I do stay in bed all day sometimes.
It's very nice. It's very nice.
Yeah, you know, I was feeling bad about it, but then also, like, I don't know when I'm ever going to be able to, like, live like a college student again and, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Just wake up whenever and be like, oh, I don't feel like getting up and sleeping, you know, until, like, yesterday I got up at 11:30 and I was like, whatever, here we go. Right. Like,
you're starting my day. I have appointments. I'm really busy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I missed so many appointments. Yeah, I got to get on it. But, you know, it's also, you know, I'm restructuring my days in ways that, like, because it's not like I'm not getting stuff done. Like, I have, you know, private clients, you know, I've taken on some freelance stuff. And, you know, I've got the store, you know, so I'm trying to bring in new merchandise and I'm trying to, you know, reach out. You know, I've been working with, you know, all these, like, new artists and makers to try to bring their stuff into the store for holiday. So it's not like I'm not doing anything, but I'm also just giving myself the time to be like, all right, like, I'm tired, sleep until 11, stay up later. Like, you don't have to, I'm not working within this, you know, 9-to-5 parameter.
Exactly.
I'm not going to, you know, an office where someone's paying. So right. It's kind of like whenever I want to get it done or I feel like I need to get it done, I get it done.
Yes, preach. That's.
Well, and the thing is, I think with us creative people, we need those mental breaks. Because I think producing, at least for me, with a creative mind, it drains me. It, like, I'm mentally, like, I'm done. And there's times of the day where I'm like, I'm really productive or I'm really active with, like, responding to everybody or putting together a presentation. And there's times where I'm like, don't ask me shit because I will blow. Like, I will scream at you. I don't know.
For sure. Do you segment your week at all? Like, I'm like, okay, when I'm doing a project or working on something, I'm like, okay, I'm going to be sourcing and doing all the stuff on this day. And then I leave like a certain day for emails and billing so that I'm not trying to do it all. Cause like, I can't switch headspaces like that. Like,
we should do it. We should do that. But I'm terrible at that. Like, I can't
do it.
We jump all over all the time, but I feel like that would probably be more productive if we.
I don't think it would work for me.
No,
because I think one of the things is so all over the place that I just need to like.
I don't know. It's really, I really love it because it also allowed me to say, "Oh, I do billing on Friday or Thursday. You'll get that then," and I can put stuff off in a way that like makes me feel really comfortable, like.
I can't even say it because I'm anxious already, but I get anxiety when somebody asks for something, you know, like that I have.
Yeah.
And Crystal and I are kind of the same way with this. Yeah. Somebody asks for something, we're like, we have to do it. I mean, there are some days where we are different and I'm like, girl, we don't need to do that right now. Right. But most of the time, this anxiety just like creeps up in me that somebody needs something. I need to do it now because that's just
the, yeah.
been taught, you know,
right?
Clients if say, jump,
say my, yeah,
but it's not healthy.
Yeah, no. I mean, trust me. I mean, don't get me like, you know, I'm still like on Monday. Like I told someone I would have a proposal to them on Monday, and I like ran out of time, and I was like, I could either, you know, stay up all night, like try to get it out, you know, or do it. And I like totally freaked out. I like got it the next morning at 5 a.m. so I could get it to them before, you know, they, you know, the work day. So I felt like I'd really gotten it to them when I told them. So, you know, it's not like I'm a master at this. I'm just trying to like, you know, trying to find all these ways to like relax a little bit and not like, you know, deep end.
True. And I don't think anybody, even at this point, and I think like, and I mean, we're all serious professionals, but like people that have been in the industry for years, I don't think anybody in the creative field has it together unless they have this very, the bomb project or process that gets everything done and a staff. Like even when we were at different design firms, like things like components of the proposal would get messed up just because team members couldn't finish parts of it. So then you couldn't send it. And then I think we're all striving for perfection and that's just not feasible.
Oh, no, perfection. I mean, you know, perfection is for assholes. I mean, nobody, right. You know, it's never.
No. And I think if you're not enjoying what you're doing, and you add perfection on top of that, then you have this recipe of shit. It's just not, it's not fun. It's not a fun time.
No, I think you should be striving to, you know, do the best that you do and to, you know, be, you know, but perfection is never something, you know, I don't know. Perfection is not attainable.
No.
And you're going to, you know, you're going to run yourself ragged if that's what you're trying to attain.
Well, and who sets the bar for perfection? Like, you know what I mean? Like, what is perfection? Like, if you're an artist, like, when is your piece perfect? It's never perfect. You're always going to see it and just find something that's not perfect for you. But it might be perfect for whoever gets it. So it's just...
There's so many life lessons happening right now. I'm really enjoying this.
Yes.
I'm getting things out of it. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Insightful. The more you know.
The
more you know. Yeah. Rainbow hand gesture.
Yes, is the rainbow, is the, you know, what is it there? Is it the reading rainbow? What was that thing?
Yeah, it was Channel 8 or PBS, I guess, whatever, yeah. Right? It was always PBS. And
that. Very cheerful, very enlightening.
Yes.
Huh. Okay, so you want to tell us about your Shop Project Phoenix.
Sure. Yeah, totally. So I started Shop Project, seems like a year and a half ago, almost 2 years ago now. And it really came out of, the idea for it is I always wanted to have a store. So I was an art dealer for many years too, before I got into interior design. I also went to art school. So I, you know, a working artist, and I've always been surrounded by people who are making really beautiful, interesting things. And one of the things I loved when I was an art dealer was being able to like, connects people with work, but also, like, I love writing people checks. Like, I love being able to say, here's this great object, I can sell it, and then, like, writing people checks and being like, I sold it, you know, I'm, you know, helping their practice. So I wanted to, you know, create something that I, you know, an outlet that I could, you know, help connect people with, you know, cool shit, basically. And so, you know, I started Shop Project, which is in its, you know, still, even though it's a, you know, a year and a half, it's still kind of in its infancy. You know, I started with kind of a long-term pop-up. I don't know what you would call it, but like a brick and mortar, you know, kind of pop-up for a couple months. And then, you know, I was doing events around town kind of with the goal that I would be doing, you know, some of the events, you know, some of the markets and things like that. And then some of, you know, some kind of long-term pop-ups until our current situation. And so it's been living online for a while, but it's a mix of, there's a lot of ceramics, some, you know, prints, some original artwork, goofy one-off vintage stuff. It's just kind of, it's just really a curated collection of shit that I love and shit that I think is really fun. And it, you know, I guess you would call it, you know, home goods, you know, accessories, stuff like that. But it kind of, there's no real defined, here's the stuff that we sell. It's just stuff that I find interesting and I'm trying to, you know, bring out to people. So it's, you know, I'm trying to keep it, you know, there's a limited quantity of everything. So, you know, the goal is to kind of cycle through stuff and have it be ever evolving and not just kind of this stagnant, you know, the same stuff over and over and over. Kind of once we sell out of something, it's gone. You know, that's kind of the end. Just to kind of keep it moving and also, you know, just bring people, you know, continually be bringing people unique stuff. You know, we feature a lot of the same makers, but like we'll shift the products or, you know, we'll just kind of, you know, move through, you know, the things that they're doing. You know, as their vibe changes, as their practice evolves.
I love it.
And I'm hoping to, like, you know, in December, be able to do some kind of in-person, you know, by appointment events, you know, whether it's in collaboration with some of the stores here around town. I've got some of my good friends or friends, you know, have some of the stores here. So, and they've been super supportive in a way that's really great that, you know, other businesses, you know, are helping out instead of saying, oh, you know, fuck you, you know, it's a competition thing. You know, everyone's been really great. So hoping to, you know, have some, you know, some in-person stuff in the winter and then eventually like a longer term pop-up again, you know, once all of the what have you is right down.
Well, that's, and I mean, I think what you have curated, it's really interesting. Every time I see the feed on Instagram, I'm like, this is some cool shit. So it's always ever changing and rotating and totally different and quirky. And it has a lot of character, which I love.
It's definitely like, it's totally me. I mean, you know, yes. It's, you can, and I will say that, like, you know, Instagram has been such a learning curve and whirlwind. It is so important in like a small business and an emerging business. And I'm terrible at it because I am super awkward. You know, there's young people and you see these classes where they're like, here's how you do content and here's all this stuff. And I'm like, but I feel really corny doing it.
It is so corny. Like,
I feel like if I have something to show, I'll show it. If I have something to say, I'll say it. You know, I shouldn't be, but like, you know, I have a wonderful PR person who's like, here's the times of day that you have to be posting. Here's the type of post that you have to do, all this stuff. And I'm like, I can't do this. It feels inauthentic to me. And when something feels inauthentic to me, it comes across that way. Like, and so I've been, you know, kind of, it's my, you know, Achilles heel, because I know that I have to do it and I have to get better at it. And it's a great way to, you know, to market stuff. And it's a great way to reach, you know, an audience, but I'm learning all about it.
So. It's a lot. It's a lot to learn and to digest, and I totally understand what you mean by it not being authentic, because I struggle with that.
Yeah.
So I decided, fuck it. If we're gonna post, because some people are like, well, you need to post Monday at 9 a.m. because people look at their phones. I'm like, I get it. It's human behavior, it's human psychology, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like this needs to be shown now. So if you see it, great. If you don't see it, that's great too. Like,
yeah,
it's out there. If the universe is meant for you to see it, you will see it.
Totally. I mean, you know, there's just so many, and people are like, you know, you can plan out your posts for like a week, and you're like, you don't have to do them then, you can plan them out. And I'm like, yeah, but like, I have like overall like 4 jobs, it seems like, you know, and sitting down on a Monday and like planning out a week's worth of Instagram posts is not, it just doesn't jive with me. Like it's not in my wheelhouse.
No. Well, and it stunts your creativity with it too.
Yeah.
I absolutely feel you on that.
And then, you know, it's hard. Like, I know people who buy followers, which I think is super weird.
Yeah. We were talking about that too. Yeah.
You know, and I get it. Like, I have, you know, I have friends who have done it because, you know, and I get it. When you're starting out, like, I have, the shop Instagram has like 200 followers, which is real sad, but I'm doing it. But they're like super engaged. Like, you know, when I post something, I get, you know, DMs from people, you know, the engagement is very high. It's not like, you know, I have 5,000 followers and I'm only getting, you know, one comment every, you know, third post.
Right.
So, you have quality rather than quantity.
Sure.
I don't think you should measure it based on followers. Again, I'm not an Instagram wizard, but I think who you have is authentic, and yeah, we're looking for authentic here.
Yeah, I mean, my whole thing, I mean, really with everything I do is it's never about being, I would rather be a best kept secret that people, you know, really love than like wildly popular.
Absolutely.
But just kind, you know, that's just what I strive for. So for better or for worse, I guess.
I'm with you on that 100%. Yeah.
I guess when those bills come due and there's all that, like, you know, maybe I should like strive for popularity more than
bills.
I mean, yeah, you know, they'll pay themselves. It's just money.
Popularity doesn't necessarily mean, you know, money in your pocket though either.
Of course. Yeah. But you know, there's that idea that the more people you reach, the more like, you know, you can supposedly, the more you're supposed to be able to convert them to customers and,
right,
you know, et cetera, et cetera. But like when I did try, like early on, I will say that I paid to promote my posts, and I did it when I would bring in a new maker or artist and I did a post about their work. I just wanted to make sure that their posts were getting likes, because I felt really bad that I was like, oh, here, I brought in your product, here's a post that, you know, got 3 likes. So I'd promote them.
Right.
I will tell you that none of the money I spent on promoting posts ever translated into sales.
Nope.
No.
Never. Never, never, never. It got likes, but never did anyone buy anything.
Exactly.
No, I don't know how it works either, because we promoted things for CK and they're like, oh yeah, like random person in wherever liked it. And I'm like, so do you need design help? Like, if you liked it, we can do this for you. And at that point, do you harass them? Be like, hey, you liked it. What's up?
No, because it's just somebody scrolling, being like, okay, all right, right. Okay. And then,
like, know. Oh, that's pretty. And like,
yeah. You know, and yeah. I certainly didn't Instagram spend, you know, thousands of dollars. I spent, you know, $24, you know, shit like
that. Yeah. our budget is not large. Yeah. And again, like, $30.
We're not large in charge here.
Not at all. Yeah, Instagram is like a whole, and I think it's a generational thing too, because that wasn't the way that we would do business.
Yeah, you know? Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So I'm like, when I first started Instagram, it was because my sister-in-law, who was in high school at the time, she's like, oh, there's this thing called Instagram and you post photos and like you do hashtags. And I'm like, I don't get it. I don't get it.
I still am grossed out by all the hashtags. Like, you know, and granted, you know, I follow a lot. And I will say, I'm grossed out by it, but I know there's a lot of people making a lot more money than me by, like, you know, putting their thirst trap pictures on there and hashtagging the shit out of them.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, I would rather, you know, punch myself in the face than, like, take a picture and, like, hashtag it fit fam, like, gay fit, like, all this bullshit that these people are putting on there. Like, I would just feel too corny and I would not be able to take myself seriously.
I 100% feel you on that.
And perhaps the check coming in would make me feel a lot better about myself.
But and the memo still, on the check is like, hashtag.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, thought.
Whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I guess, I guess it's a generational thing too, because I mean, we have hashtags for CK that, you know, interior design.
Yeah, I think some of them
those are normal.
Yeah,
but we're totally not doing like best design in the world, like badass bitches, la di da. Like,
I mean, badass bitches isn't a bad one.
We should. No, I mean, yeah,
I like that one because we are badass. I couldn't think of anything corny. Yeah. It's just not in my spirit.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, it's a learning curve for sure. But we're very excited to hear about the future plans of Shop Project. And obviously, we want to crash whatever event that you have.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, of course, you guys will come to whatever I do. Not saying, you know, that you'll have all this free time. Just saying, you'll be invited. And of course,
we'll be there.
We will be there. We will be there. Okay, so we're going to do like a little Q&A now with some random questions.
Okay, sure.
And Chris is going to pick a random question from a list that we have. He doesn't know anything about these questions, by the way, so it's anything.
All right, so I'm going to go first.
Yes.
Okay. Just because this literally has nothing to do with anything. What would you choose for your last meal? Like ever.
Oh shit. Oh, that's hard. Probably tacos, but not like nice, like out here tacos, like a nasty Midwestern taco bar. Like like a hard shell. Like
white people taco night?
Yes, white people taco night. I love taco night. Taco night is my fucking favorite.
I'm dying.
I want imagine, and I need it to be made by like a 1980s suburban mom who like you know has a station wagon out front and is like doing the full, you know, and like served in like a rec room, like a basement rec room.
Oh, love it.
Like old El Paso, like tortillas, yes, that are, yep, like flat at the bottom that can hold.
No,
it
hard shells only hard shells.
I love that you created a whole scene for it. It wasn't just a meal. It was the whole atmosphere. They're all or nothing.
It is. I mean, even to this day, it's still one of my favorite meals to like make. Like whenever like I've got like a crowd of people, I'm just like, I'm making tacos. It's what you're getting, a Midwestern taco. That's what's happening. Like,
I didn't know those were considered Midwestern tacos.
Yeah, I'm learning.
They go in Ohio too.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, I think it's just like, you know, it's just a white person taco. It's probably not like, you know, less, you know, Midwest and more just like, you know, an American, you know, taco, I guess, so, you could say.
So like ground beef with like the taco seasoning kind,
yep,
of.
Yep, taco kit, throw the taco kit in there, some shredded lettuce, shredded cheese, dice up an onion, you know, yep, some black olives.
Yeah.
All, you know, yeah, the sour cream, you know.
Always sour cream.
Always sour cream. So much sour cream.
I live on it.
There's a TikTok out there about white people taco night that I will send to you after this. Because
wait, do you TikTok? Are you on the TikTok?
I am not on the, well, we are on the TikTok, but we're not doing much on the TikTok.
Okay, I'm very, so I realized that my social media, I think, ended at Instagram, mm-hmm, because I don't fucking understand TikTok. I don't get what it's for. Like, occasionally people send them to me, so I'm, like, aware that, like, but, like, do people, like, these dances that people do, like, do they just make them up, or they're like, you know, are there like certain ones that everybody does?
I think there's certain ones that everybody does, and then there are people that, you know, I feel, yeah, like if, ugh, we were on TikTok, we would make a dance up and we would hope that it would trend somehow.
Right.
I mean,
because obviously, you know, like all the WAP dance trends, like everybody was doing that, okay, for a hot minute most recently, but yeah, I don't,
it's,
know,
like a dance too.
I mean, I did see a lot of very flexible gay dudes doing the WAP dance, like via things that people, yeah, sent me on TikTok, and I was very confused.
Too. I was like, I just, girls!
Like, they would jump down, and then their legs would go, and I'd be like, yeah, I would literally get down on the ground, and I'd be like, we're done. We're just done there. Like,
I just WAPed.
Yeah, I just WAPed all over the place, and I'm done.
I love it. Okay, so next time we do a dinner party, we're going to do White People Taco Night, and yeah, we're going to learn the waffle.
And we're going to TikTok. It's going to be American tacos and TikTok.
Yes.
And we'll have a group WAP dance. OMG, yes.
Yeah.
That would be disastrous.
It's going to be.
But completely unedited. Like, you have to, like, you know, we'll learn it, and then we'll film it, and then whatever happens.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm in.
Okay, so we're going to jump to another question.
Okay.
If you were opening a bar, what would you name it?
Oh, I feel like I wanted to have like a vaguely sexual undertone, like, okay, you know, but also like, you know, I'm trying to think of like a great dive bar name that's like, oh, it's like right at the tip of my tongue. Oh, this is difficult.
That's the whole point of these questions.
I know, but it's just, we may have to come back to that. It's going to snap into my head at some point in time.
We will come back to that.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll throw you an easy one.
Okay.
What's your favorite cocktail?
This is not that easy. It rotates. Like, I don't have a favorite cocktail. I have like a mix of them. Like, I drink gin martinis. I drink margaritas, Sauvignon Blanc, and like Bordeaux. That's like,
Well, it's because you're a Gemini. Like, we can't decide. You know, like,
but I'm also equal opportunity. Like, I love, you know, I'll have a good vodka rocks, like a good Bloody Mary.
True.
You know, the only thing I don't really like is a good craft cocktail is very nice every now and then, but like when it takes 35 minutes to put together and it has like an egg yolk in it, it's too fucking much for me. Like, right, you know, it should be put booze, put a mixer, put ice. Like, there we go.
Right. Yeah, I'm not into the eggy cocktails. Like, every once in a while I'm like, oh, okay, it's good. And then I'm like, egg.
What I do drink that grosses people out is I drink White Russians a lot. Like,
they're not bad.
They're lovely. But have you ever had 4 cream-based drinks? Like, you know, if you're just at a bar shoving down like a beverage that's basically made with heavy cream, it could be intense.
Yeah, it could come back to haunt you.
For sure.
Yes. Well, I also love milk. Like, I drink whole milk, like glasses of whole milk. So wow. when I show up at brunch and I'm hungover, the first thing I'll do is shotgun an entire, like, a large glass of whole milk.
Wow. Oh my God, I just vomited.
Do you buy like regular whole milk, or you buy like organic whole milk?
Both. I
organic is better than regular, just to say.
You know, the Midwestern kid in me loves, you know, just a good old vitamin D, you know. But like, let me tell you, nothing freaks people out like an adult man shotgunning a glass of milk somewhere.
Oh, I can't even. I don't drink milk. I don't do dairy at all. It's just, even smelling milk makes me gag. So as soon as you said that, I'm like, egg.
And whole milk. Why whole milk? Why not 2% at least?
Well, I need all the percents. You know.
You are full figured.
Yes. I mean, I'm a beefy gal, and I need, you know, I just like the taste of it. And, you know, I feel like, you know, I don't do really any like diet stuff ever. So I just feel like, whole milk is better for you. Like, I'm sure there's people out there could probably, you know, will argue every other way. And I don't even know why I think it's better for you, but somewhere I got it in my head that it's better.
We won't judge. Although I want to go to brunch just to watch you shotgun my glass.
The next time I see you, if there's some dairy around, I'll shotgun a glass of milk.
I mean, I've been to brunch with you. I've never seen you, but I guess it wasn't a rough day. It was probably the day after we met for brunch that you had your big glass of milk. Well, that's a new discovery for me.
Yeah,
I've never had milk, even as a child. I never
really
drink milk with dinner or anything.
No, I was always disgusted by milk as a kid. I never, you know, like
your parents didn't make you, even though you were disgusted by it, your parents didn't make you as a kid.
No,
Is that like an American thing? The milk with dinner thing? I don't know.
No, my mom tried to give me milk, but I always got sick. Like, and obviously in the 80s, like there wasn't like an allergy test for,
right.
We did not believe in allergies then.
No. So she would give me milk. I would take a sip and I'll start gagging. Yeah. So what she would do, she would make me banana shakes. And that was the only way that I would drink it. Because it would mask the milk. Like, if I open a thing of milk now, I'll seriously gag.
Wow.
No milk. Do you drink milk, Crystal?
Yeah.
Like that?
Not like that. Not regularly. not fully regular. Like, Nico's pretty much the only one in the house. I used to drink it a lot. And then now I sometimes drink it at night before I go to bed if I'm hungry, so I don't have to eat anything. So that my gestational diabetes fasting numbers in the morning aren't too high. If I eat something before I go to bed, then my numbers spike in the morning. But if I just drink a glass of milk, it's fine. So it's directly pregnancy.
Science.
Yeah, I know.
Weird science.
I
mean,
I also don't think I've ever had a warm glass of milk, like to put myself to sleep, like that bullshit. Like, no. I've never.
Why would I?
I don't understand that. Like, I don't even know if people still do that anymore. But
have you ever drank raw milk? I have not, but like straight from the cow. I assume that would
be. Yes. Yes.
And you like it?
I don't. I mean, it's not. It's not something that I want. It's delicious. It's just, it's different.
We're having a whole conversation about milk.
Yes. Milk. You didn't know when you had me on that I'd steer this into a dairy based conversation.
Oh, that's hilarious.
No. It's just interesting. A whole glass of milk. Like, shit. Okay. Yeah, no. Mm-mm. I'm not in that life.
I do like, if I have like cake, obviously I want milk with it. I don't know, well, maybe not obviously, but I want milk with it. And then sometimes if I eat ice cream, I want to drink milk after ice cream, even though ice cream has milk in it, but whatever. Mm-hmm. To each their own.
Yeah, good luck with the bathroom, you guys.
It doesn't affect us the way it affects you.
Yeah.
Really. Or we wouldn't be doing it.
Enjoy that. Oh dear. Did you think about the name of your bar? Is it the milk bar?
All glass of milk.
We'll just call it the Dairy Barn, and it'll just, you know, I'll be only milk-based cocktails.
Oh, wow. I'm never going. You just lost a customer.
Wrong. Wait, do you not like alcoholic milkshakes?
No.
No?
Well, she doesn't react well to dairy, so why would you alcoholic milkshakes? That's like asking for trouble.
There are certain things that I don't react well to, but I refuse to give up. I mean...
Yeah, I get it. I mean, I like vanilla ice cream a lot, but I can only eat like 2 spoons and then I... Okay. But I found this new like plant-based ice cream. I don't know if I can call it ice cream, but it's churro flavor and it's delicious. It's like creamy and like... It's
plant-based?
Like, yeah.
What is it made out of?
Plants.
Thanks, Crystal. So descriptive.
Oh no, nice. I didn't make it. It just says plant based and it's delicious. And it's called Ripple, which sounds like nipple. Mm. So like a cow. Get it? I'm understanding their marketing. Ripple nipple. Plant based. Made out of plants. It's delicious. But yeah, no dairy cocktails for me. Yeah. Or dairy anything for that matter.
Good to know.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll do white people taco night. You'll have a glass of milk.
Yeah.
I'll have margaritas.
Oh, if we serve margaritas, it has to be the ones with the mix. You can't like squeeze your own limes
or anything. Oh, no. No, I can't do that. From like the plastic bottle.
Oh, the mix is made heartburn. Well, whatever. I can't drink right now anyway.
Oh, yes. No, it gives you such bad heartburn. It literally just burns the inside of your body.
Like going down and just all the way. Yeah.
I'm actually allergic to that mix. Like, I'll get a rash. I have figured out how much I can drink before I get the rash.
Oh, dear. That's not good.
It's a whole thing.
That's like me with the milk.
Yeah.
So much. Yes. Like you go to a restaurant and be like, I'm allergic to margaritas. I cannot drink this.
I'm not allergic to good margaritas. I'm allergic to that shitty mix.
Yeah, that stuff is nasty. Oh,
it's so gross. I hate it.
No. Usually when you're drinking that, they give you a plastic glass and I'm like, oh no. Like you just made it worse. It depends on which nasty restaurant you go to.
Where are you going in a restaurant where they're serving you that mix?
I don't remember, but I've had it in a glass, like margarita, in a plastic margarita container glass. It's not a glass. So how do you call it?
A
plastic glass? You can't say plastic glass because that's
You can. Glass. You just did.
But it sounds stupid.
Cup. A plastic cup.
Yeah.
It's a margarita glass. Like,
yeah, but you serve it like a party cup. It's like those, like a solo cup is the, those are cups.
But she's saying like an actual like margarita shaped, but with
margarita shape.
Yeah.
Plastic.
Oh.
Vessel. You know, because it's not a glass.
I don't know.
This is how my brain
but
works.
But if you call those things plastic, you call them plastic glasses. Like you just do.
Right. Lawyers. That's the rule.
I don't know. Go to the Target pool section. See what like they're calling them.
That's true. They're glass, but they're not glass. They're not made out of glass. No.
Yes, but there's a difference between glasses and glass these days. You know, it's.
This is what happens at Real Talk. We're just
we talk about milk. Talk about glass.
Rolling around the world. So what other plans do you have for the rest? I mean, not that you can plan anything for the rest of the year, but are you venturing the rest out of the year. Much? Or
yeah, you know, I'm starting to get out more. You know, it's like right now I'm in this weird place where I'm trying to figure out how to like take on more business and, you know, get my life back going. While still, you know, kind of being on hold. So, you know, I never really wanted to start my own firm or work for myself, but that kind of is where I'm at right now because there's not a lot to do.
Are you still furloughed?
I'm still furloughed and I have no idea when I will be unfurloughed or if that will even happen.
Right.
You know, because I had... You know, my sob story is that, you know, I got an incredible job offer right before COVID. Took the job, signed the contracts, and then, you know, flew to New York in early March as on like a celebratory tour so I could buy all these beautiful new shoes and, you know, do all this stuff. And quit my job. And as soon as I got back, they were like, yeah, like, you know, we're going to have to, you know, put you on hold, which... It's nothing, you know, I understand, like, I'm not bitter towards them because it's just the way it was. I mean, they ended up furloughing their staff that, you know, had been there for a while. You know, they cut them down in days, I know. And so it wasn't just me. And obviously, you know, I was just the lowest person on the totem pole. But yeah, so I had like left my job and was getting ready to start this new job. And so, which took, you know, I think which made made it all a little bit worse because I was like, fuck, I was supposed to be going into like the prime time of my life. And instead I was sitting at home worried about, you know, how I was going to pay for stuff. So, you know, so it's just, you know, I'm trying to be optimistic about that. And then also like realistic that like, I may have to come up with something else and, you know, bills have to be paid. So I'm really lucky that the people that I know are super supportive. So even when like, I'm not trying to get business, people are helping me get business and clients. And so, you know, I've just, you know, been kind of building that. And so we'll see, you know, I may end up just working for myself and trying to make that work, but you know, that's a whole beast unto itself, yeah. As you guys know.
We don't really recommend it, but I totally understand it.
I mean, trust me, I don't want it either. That's the thing. People are like, why don't you just work for yourself? And I'm like, why don't I not? Like, why don't I work for somebody else whose name's on the door and I have a paycheck coming in on the regular?
Yeah.
And when shit goes left, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, my name isn't on the door. Yeah. Like,
whoopsie, you should call them. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Did you return the shoes?
Did I return the shoes? Fuck no.
Are
you kidding me? I did. I mean, it was super sad because I didn't, I didn't wear any of the stuff that I'd bought because I didn't have an opportunity to. And finally, I forget what month it was. I was I guess I'm just going to have to start wearing these shoes and all this stuff that I bought to wear into the office. Cause it's just sitting there in the boxes unopened. So that's yeah. Wild.
Yeah. No, you never return a victory purchase.
No. I mean, also, what am I going to do? Fly back to New York to return it to Bloomingdale's?
I suppose not. That was on my mind. That's all I want.
Yeah. No, I was just I will just be saddled by that debt and, call it a day.
It'll remind you of that time.
Yeah.
But it's crazy because you went from the highest high to whoo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that, everybody experienced something similar around that time. I mean, we did as well. And it's just crazy how you, we were all so pumped about 2020. And
Oh, good. I was getting a great job. I was getting ready to buy a house. I was getting ready to do all this stuff. And then all of a sudden I was like, nope, I guess I will just lose it all.
So wild.
Wild. So, yeah. I mean, I don't have a plan. I'm just trying to figure it out and try to have as much fun and be enjoy life as much as possible while also trying to be realistic about the future and realistic that shit has to get paid and things need to get done and trying to make it all work
Well, and that shit might hit the fan again, so now we're a little bit more prepared. I mean, not I guess mentally prepared, but not financially prepared.
Yeah.
For all of it.
How can you be?
It's just so crazy how everything just turned so quickly.
Yeah, I mean, at some point it's just maybe, I may have to push my mother down the stairs so I can just move back in with her and say that I'm taking care of her. Just be like, oh, you need my help now. Sorry, it looks like you're, not doing great. And just, give up and go full Grey Gardens, Not show my face again until the documentary crew comes and finds me and my mother just drunk and eating cat food.
They're going to listen to this podcast, This plan is already out there. I have to tweak it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's just a general idea.
Yeah, I'm just playing around, just storyboarding some stuff. Yeah.
Brainstorming.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Crystal, any other questions that you want to throw in there?
I think I'm good. Do you want to plug your Instagram handles or any of those things that we talked about that are awkward? But yeah.
Oh, yes.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, the shop is shopprojectphx on the Instagrams, and it's on the World Wide Webs. It's the www.shopprojectphx.com.
Perfect.
And my personal one is just my name, which is Jeffrey Teuton, JeffreyTeuton, which I think will be at the bottom of something. I don't know. Is this the thing where you go click and subscribe or push up? I don't know. That's YouTube.
I don't know how we're going to do it, but we'll definitely promote it. So it'll be out there.
We'll put it on the show notes of the podcast, but you're talking about
YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
Going to see this video.
Like and subscribe. Click up.
We'll figure it out. Whatever.
Look, I don't know. I'm on a podcast. Am I young now? Is this what? Am I a youth?
You're hip.
Is
this... Yeah, we're all really hip now.
You're part of it.
We all have hip problems, is what we're talking about.
Oh, yes.
We are not hip. We have hip problems. We're elder people here. Just trying to kill some time during quarantine. And I think for us, it's helped us a lot just to sit down and kind of reconnect with people and hear their take on everything that's been happening. And we have this for future reference when we're 85 years old. We're like, hey, remember when we recorded this podcast in 2020 and it was a shit show? So
yeah, I didn't really think about that, but all right, anything else, Christelle?
No. Jeffrey, anything you want to throw out there? The name of your bar?
It's the Dairy Barn, Crystal, we talked about. The
Dairy Barn.
I'm not going.
At Cow? I mean, I don't know. Like
At Cow? Like the at symbol? At Cow?
Was... No, Fat Cow.
Oh. Fat Cow's better.
I think it should be like vitamin D.
I'll get that D.
Like, yeah. I don't know. I mean, you can take it however you want.
You wanted a sexual undertone and you like milk. Sounds perfect.
All right.
Vitamin D.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I'm glad that I could be your first guest. It's an honor and a privilege.
We are so excited, and we'll probably do another show with you and our dear friend Lolita so we can just keep talking some real shit. So
sweet.
Thank you so much. And we will see you and everybody else next time.
Yes. Thank you.
Bye.